The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
D-Ready is joined by Dave Hanratty tonight for our weekly music chat. But first, a comment from Connor in Waterford who says, Matt, not sure if you went to Arcade Fire, Echo and the Bunnyman. If not, what a show you missed. The Funeral album in full, followed by another album's worth of the best known hits. A wonderful performance and puts Nicki Minaj to shame. I didn't go to Arcade Fire on Sunday evening. I was too busy celebrating Cork's victory over Limerick in Croke Park. But let's talk about Nicki Minaj. Now, a woman who I've had my difficulties with at the
For very different reasons, okay. To be fair.
Yeah, but just for those who may not be familiar with what she did, or rather what she didn't do on Sunday night, what a shocker for people who's paid a lot of money to go and see her.
Yeah, a real shocker, Matt. So apparently she appeared on stage almost 90 minutes later than the advertised time and played a set that lasted less than an hour. So by the time she got to stage, it was, you know, just coming up to 10 o'clock. It was about 9:50 or thereabouts.
And it was a curfew at Malahide Castle
really
at half 10.
Strict curfew of half past 10. And yeah, she rocked up. There was no mention or apology or anything like that on her social media. She also did, I think, like two or three costume changes within that time, which is taking away again from the amount of time that she went on stage. And like, you're talking about people who would have paid close to €100 for a ticket. So
and then
they were
all the costs of getting there and back.
And that's
and the time it takes to get away from Malahide Castle.
Basic ticket fee as well. Some people will have paid more, again, over and above the standard rate of, let me see.
The Golden Circle, yeah.
€89.90. So you would have had people who would have been paying,
Time for compensation, Dave?
Possibly, yeah. I mean, MCD haven't said anything. The promoters of the gig haven't really kind of responded to this. Some disgruntled fans have indeed called for this on social media elsewhere. But like, Dee, you're saying it's a shocker that this happened. I would say it's not a shocker at all. This is a woman who has contempt for her audience. And like, this is not the first time that she's pulled something like this.
She failed to turn up for her last gig in Ireland.
Adverse weather conditions. Yeah, yeah, despite playing in an indoor arena. And this one, it just wasn't too surprising. And it is. It's a joke. I mean, it absolutely is. She cancelled a show the next night in Romania, security concerns due to protests in the area, but like
she's not even that good anyway.
No,
is she?
I would agree with that. She's not to my taste, but you know, the verse on Kanye West Monster will live forever, but I mean, as a solo artist, not so exciting. I think that, you know, the ego is gigantic here, and you even saw, like, you know, some of the stands online, I should say, people who didn't actually attend the concert, people in America saying, you guys were lucky to even get that, you know, she's the queen and it's amazing. It doesn't surprise me at all. She's very arrogant. She doesn't really care about the fans, I don't think, and it's incredible rock star behaviour, but it is, you know, it is letting down the fans, and lots of young fans who are there as well, some people's first concert, but yeah, I mean, you know, as you say, like, I mean, it's actually been a great summer of gigs in Ireland so far, but this was kind of the big one that broke everyone's heart, except for
mine. She'll never be back, I'd imagine, because I can't imagine anyone would ever risk buying a ticket for her again.
Well, I don't see why any promoter would risk having her, to be honest with you, and that's where I think some of the fault has to lie here, because, you know, as Dave's saying, she has form for this type of behaviour. There are, you know, in some countries, in some cities, they have rules about a minimum amount of time spent on stage before you actually are automatically required to give people a refund on their ticket. And I don't see why Irish fans shouldn't have the same sort of
protections.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just not fair.
Okay, let's talk about other things. Actually, let's get to your picks of the week before we get into the conversation. Dave, what are you going for?
So I'm going for a band from Britain called Public Service Broadcasting, who emerged back in 2013 with a very interesting and quite unique take on music. They basically take old archive material, whether it's kind of news reports or newsreels and kind of road safety, you know, kind of training videos and that kind of thing, and they set it to music. It's all very avant-garde, and it was quite exciting back then, and I must say I'm surprised that they've announced their fifth album, that they're still going. If anything, they do seem to be increasing in popularity. I thought maybe, you know, you couldn't drag this out forever, but they're still sharp. They have a new album coming in October, and it's based on Amelia Earhart and her last flight. And the frontman of this band said in particular that a lot of the archive material they use is very male-focused. They want to do something kind of female-focused. Cool. And they've dropped a really good new song today. It's called Electra, and it sounds like this.
Mind that made it.
really good. And a listener says, brilliant. About time someone gave Public Service Broadcasting some credit. Fantastic band and great live as well.
They are great live. I've seen them live. And I'll tell you this as well. They come on stage when they're supposed to and they play for more than 40 minutes.
What's your pick of the week, Dee, please?
My pick of the week, Matt, is one I thought you might be quite excited about. It is from So. So they, the enigmatic R&B band that is thought to centre around Inflow, who's the producer, and has worked with Adele. He's worked with Adele, Little Sims and Michael Kiminaka. But there's a load of people involved in this project. They're pretty prolific for a band that, you know, it isn't a lot of their main project. Like back in 2022, they released 5 albums in one day. They do very little kind of fanfare in advance of their releases. And this is no different. They just announced on Saturday night that, you know, here's a new album. And here's a download for it. Off you pop. And it's available. It's still there if people want to check it out. You just go onto their social media and you can download the 32-minute 8-9-track album for free. And it all comes as one track. Really, really worth a listen. This is a lovely track, a track from it called Signs.
Great.
It's great.
They're so good.
So the full album is called Acts of Faith. So get it for free, folks. You might as well.
Okay, all right. A lot of listeners saying about Nicki Minaj played Vienna on Friday night, did 1 hour, then had a break, then did a second hour and was great. But other listeners said that apparently she only left on a plane from Vienna, giving herself not enough time to get to Dublin, and only arrived in Dublin after 9:30.
Yeah, and I guess like sped to the venue, which is just, that just shows you the lack of interest she had on that day for whatever reason, for the Irish fans.
But you know what? What occurred to me when I was reading the stuff about it, you know, there was a whole subsection of people who were giving out yards about how much attention Taylor Swift got and how much attention that gig got. But, you know, at least it is so clear from everything she does, she really respects her fans, respects their time and respects the money they spend going to see her.
Played like, 10 hours of music over 3 nights?
There you go.
You're getting what you pay for there.
Yeah, okay. Okay, let's talk about other things. What about additions to the Electric Picnic lineup, Dave?
Yeah, we said last time, I think, when the first announcement came out, I think it may have been Dee, it may have been you, who kind of said, where's CMAT, where's Lancome? Mm. And now they're on the bill. I think, you know, you often have big acts kind of held back for another announcement to kind of, you know, I guess, create interest. But of course, this is already sold out. The most interesting new addition to me is that of Bambi Thug, who, of course, we've talked about quite a lot in the run-up to the Eurovision and even after the Eurovision. And I wonder now, I'm really interested
What are they doing since?
Announcing tour dates. They did announce a solo tour that is happening as well, but I mean, this is a big get for both, I think, the festival and for the artist. But the question will become, will people who had objections to Bambi Thug playing the Eurovision, will they turn their back on this, or will Bambi Thug find themselves playing to a sold out tent? I think that they're going to get a crowd.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I think probably people will turn up for it. More out of curiosity as to whether they have enough material actually to pull off a gig, but that remains to be seen.
CMAT are playing. Let's hear a bit of CMAT. Stay for Something. see Matt. Paul and Roscommon, who loves trolling John Cadell every week. Where is he? No doubt he's off hunting a house or holding the Deaf Leopard fan convention in a phone box somewhere.
He's off celebrating that the Stranglers have been added to the Electric Picnic.
We're
going
to have to get him a ticket for Electric Picnic now, aren't we? Yeah.
We'd be dust if we don't.
Okay, well, that's where we know John Cadell will be that weekend. God, Noel Gallagher's turning into a real bore, isn't he? I think anyone who starts going on saying things like Glastonbury is a bit woke now, anyone who throws that woke line around is a bore themselves.
He's transforming into Grandpa Simpson.
Yeah, like, gradually, old man shouts a cry.
It's unbelievable. And like, in fairness, he's always given out about people giving out, which is just incredible. And he has a weekly podcast, which he's on, giving out about things. And yeah, he says
he's
Glastonbury...
giving out about it being preachy.
Glastonbury. Yeah, but Glastonbury
but
is preachy.
But he's preachy about it
being preachy,
But, now, listen, I will say Glastonbury is preachy. He says Glastonbury, quote, is a bit woke now. Now, what he's saying is it's too politically correct. It's too tied to politics. It's too, quote, virtue signalling. Apart from some of the terminology, I mean, I'd agree with him, but the only problem is it's not now. Glastonbury has always been ultra-left-wing, ultra-political, and that's what it's kind of known for. Like, you had Jeremy Corbyn introducing Run the Jewels on stage about, what, 6-7 years ago?
True.
Like, what festival are you talking... It's like he's just woken up and discovered what Glastonbury is, which is incredible. Glastonbury has tons of positives, tons of negatives. This isn't one of them, but this is what Noel does, and he gets us talking, and he's good at it, and he's a rent-a-quote, but this is... He has been going down this route for a long time of just extremely boring and ridiculously on-the-right kind of opinions, I think.
I think he's just getting worse and worse, to be honest with you, and this whole thing of just throwing the word woke around like a negative, it's just... It's such an obvious little, like, who you're trying to appeal to by doing it. He comes across as an idiot in the entire thing, to be honest with you. And then, has the gall to tell, he has the gall to tell Dave Grohl to wind his neck in for talking about Oasis. Like, mate, get over yourself.
Is Simon Cowell's day done?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. I mean, there was this a big kind of uproar this week that he was holding auditions to have the next big boy band, the next One Direction, and it is what...
He wishes there was an uproar. No one cared enough.
Well, it's like well over a decade since One Direction were kind of doing their thing at this stage. Allegedly, 40 people turned up to this audition. And I have to say, the conspiracy theorist in me has popped out here, and I'm wondering if this even happened at all, and maybe this is the first step of him actually launching a thing. Otherwise, in fact, it is as simple as... He's yesterday's news, which is probably the more likely thing.
I saw the tent that they'd set up for the queues and the barriers and stuff, and it did seem like a little sad medley of people collected. Like it didn't seem like the kind of thing that that one might have planned, because there's no way that's gonna help the brand of what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and the brand does feel kind of played out at this point. It does feel like he's had his day in the sun. But I mean, again, you know, he'll prove us wrong again, I'm sure, with something.
Who's going to pay $1 million for Rory Gallagher's guitar?
Well, potentially the Irish government. If some people have their way. No, I know they won't. I know they won't.
I cannot see that happening.
I mean, you know, this could finally put to bed the Cork Ballyshannon thing, Matt, if...
You mean the great Cork guitarist who's claimed to write Donegal?
Well, I mean, they have the festival. You guys have the statue, isn't that it?
Something like that.
Yeah. This is really interesting, though, because, like, you know, the Rory Gallagher collection, it's just been released. It's his brother and former manager, Donal, who's made the decision to sell, one of the main pieces in it. There's a whole load of stuff from his life, but one of the main pieces is this very, very famous guitar that was synonymous with him, and is actually rumoured to be the first Stratocaster ever sold in Ireland. And there's a really sweet detail in it of he bought it for £100 on credit from Crowley's music store in Cork, to be fair to you, Matt.
That's where he started his guitar career. Him a Corkman, doesn't it?
I knew this was going to come up. I was like, I must be very careful about how I word this.
But there is talk, as you say, of, like, you know, maybe the government should buy it. And I'm just thinking, at this stage, if they were to have a €1 million outlay on a guitar with all the current crises that they're facing. You know, it's a nice idea, but...
This bonus budget coming, you never know.
Let's get ourselves a kick-ass guitar.
No, but it does raise an interesting point, because he's a huge part, I think, of Ireland's kind of 20th century music legacy or heritage. And it would be nice to see some of the pieces in this auction coming back to home, you know, whether that is in Donegal or Cork, Matt.
Okay, more listener comments. I was at Kings of Leon Saturday night. Young people these days have more money than sense. 100 quid into the gold circle and all they did was talk the whole way through the gig. They may as well have been in a random smoking area in town.
I got a lot of talkers when I went to LCD Sound System there in Malahide Castle. Great gig, by the way, but there was one moment where two lads came up behind me and they were louder than idols, and that takes some doing, let
that
me tell you. Not only that, but the lads, and I must say their conversation, it was quite cheery, but the one of them said, you know, isn't this a great venue for a gig? And I was like, it absolutely is. Can we listen to the gig? can we watch the show? But yeah, there's an epidemic of this. No matter where you go, I was in the concert hall on Saturday and no one spoke, and it was like being in a different time period.
I think it is different at outdoor gigs and indoor
massively,
gigs,
yeah.
To be fair.
Okay, another one says, Nicki Minaj's worst crime against live music was the fact that she was lip-syncing. Surely you're in money-back territory when a vocalist is miming?
Pop gig, I guess. You know, it's more accepted, I suppose.
I think that would be dangerous territory for anybody to enter into.
All right, listen, I'm going to have to leave it there. My thanks to both of you.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Weekdays from 4:30. Today.